I'm Adam A. Donaldson from Guelph Politico, and you can find me at guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca. And this is the final interview for the 2014 provincial election campaign, the final candidate for the riding of Guelph, who I will be interviewing, and it's Anthony MacDonald of the Progressive Conservative Party. And if you want to listen to any of the previous interviews, just look it up on Guelph Politico. It's season 3, so any of the podcasts marked number 3.12345, that is for the provincial election. And if you need help making up your mind, just check out those interviews and listen to the candidates talk about what's important to them, what they think is important to the people of Guelph during this current election season. Now, Anthony MacDonald is a newcomer of Guelph politics. He is from the horse racing industry and came to prominence when cuts were made to the funding of that industry here in Ontario under the McGuinty Liberals a few years ago. He began talking out about it and rose to prominence and was frequently invited to talk about the issue and then invited to run for the Progressive Conservatives here in Guelph, which he has taken up and is hoping to replace Liz Sandals, the current incumbent MPP, in a perhaps eventual HUDAC government if all goes according to their plan. The subject of Tim Hudak did come up during our interview. We talked about with Anthony MacDonald what his experiences are with the man and maybe how he can close the popularity gap or if that even matters. But predominantly, Anthony MacDonald wanted to talk about the economy. It's his belief that there is nothing more important than the economy in this election and that all the other issues that are being addressed and want to be addressed kind of stem from that central premise. And I think you'll hear him talk very passionately about the subject of the current state of affairs of Ontario's economy. So without further ado, let's throw it to the candidate. I caught up with Anthony MacDonald at his campaign office here in Guelph. Well, Anthony MacDonald, thanks for taking time to talk to me today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Great. I mean, first of all, you are new to the political scene, although you've lived here for many years, obviously. So
yep.
If you can begin with by telling a bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Prince Edward Island in 1976. Mm-hmm. I moved to Ontario 19 years ago to work in the horse racing sector. I lived in Windsor, Ottawa, Montreal, Detroit. I bounced around everywhere and settled back in Cobourg, really just plying my trade. You know, I made an effort to work for the best stables I could and learn as much as I could about the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up continuing to work my way up. I went from a groom to a trainer to a driver. In the last 7 years in Ontario, I've been one of the leading drivers in Canada, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important to me. You know, it's all I ever wanted to do, to be honest, before 3 years ago. And, you know, it's odd when people talk to me about politics and how I got to the point I am here talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine there's a more strange story. My industry was crushed by the Liberal government 3 years ago, and I ended up speaking at Queen's Park in a rally, and there was 3,000 people there, and I spoke, and two people from the PC party, and actually somebody from the New Democrats came out and asked me if I'd be interested in getting involved in politics in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
I told them no, not at all. I said I just had a baby girl and wasn't really that interested in it. I just wanted to represent my industry the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
So about 5 weeks later, we had another rally.
Mm-hmm.
So now, over the last 5 weeks, from that time to the next rally, I ended up speaking out as much as I could. I ended up writing emails to the Liberal Party, tried to get an interview with Liz Sandals, and I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the only Liberal in town that would actually see me was Frank Valeriot, who couldn't really do anything, but he was helpful, you know, he listened.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening was they had another rally, and I went and spoke again. There's about another 3,000 people in the lawn of Queen's Park. And I was angry. I was a little more angry now because we're looking at 2 months since you know what I perceived to be, you know, great harm done to my industry, mm-hmm. and nobody really knew why. There were still no answers being given to the questions we had, and I was angry. So I spoke, and again, the two people from the PC party came down.
The same two people.
Same two people. Yeah,
they were scouting you.
Oh, I guess so. I don't know. They came down and they said, would you be interested in getting involved? You know, have you given them any more thought? And I said, come on, man. I said, you know, I got a mortgage to pay. I got bills to pay. I said, I'm one of the lucky people that can make a living in this industry. Mm-hmm. And if I had to, I could move. But I'm here speaking for the people that can't move.
Right.
People that don't do well in the industry. People that just scrape by, that have families and, you know, put their kids on the bus and then go to the barn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really upsetting and frustrating to not have a voice at Queen's Park.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 weeks later, Lisa McLeod called me. She said, Mr. McDonald, I saw you speak at Queen's Park a month ago. I'm having a rally for economic and rural development, I think it was. And she said, would you be willing to speak? I said, yeah, I'll speak. So I remember that day. I was just pulling into the parking lot. And it hit me that it was 3 months. 3 months and 1 week, 13 weeks mm-hmm. since we lost everything. Nah, still no email, no phone calls, nothing, not a thing. So I was waiting for those people this day, and they come down again, same two people. I said I'd work in politics. Now working and running are two very different things. But as I walked around Guelph, I talked to business owners and, you know, plumbers, electricians, people who worked at Tim Hortons or McDonald's, and they all had the same story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just felt like the government had steamrolled them, and they didn't have a voice. So where I was a little uncomfortable before because I was leery because I wasn't speaking for my industry anymore. Now I'm speaking for all these people that had everything in common.
Mm-hmm.
And it meant a lot to me. So I decided that I would run. And it's been quite the ride. But to be honest, I mean, it never stops. You know, you knock on somebody's door and you hear how my son had to move to BC or, you know, my daughter's graduating next year. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. She doesn't know where she's going to work. Or, you know, my father was laid off and... It's the same thing over and over again. It's just, you know, when you hear the liberals talk about job creation and they really truly believe it when they say it, I don't see it. I just don't see it.
So the third time was the charm.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, I think it was a culmination of 3 months of work that was really nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the same time, we had the teachers that were descending on Queen's Park because they were asked to take a wage freeze and be accountable for their sick days and whatnot. And all that was going on with Bill 115.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, our industry lost everything. We had no representation, you know. And, you know, sometimes I wish that we were unionized. To be honest, if we were, I don't think you and I would be talking today.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that issue, mm-hmm. when you obviously started in politics, it was new. It was mm-hmm. it was an open sore because it had just happened. But
yeah.
We haven't heard a lot about it. And maybe that's because
nope.
a lot of other scandals have compounded
yeah.
it. So what is the status of...
The status is that we went from a revenue-sharing agreement where if you didn't spend a dollar at the horse races or in the slots, we didn't see any of your money,
mm-hmm.
to fully being subsidized and funded by the government. So now you pay for the purses in horse racing, and I think we know, given the economic climate in Ontario right now, how long that will last.
Mm.
So I'm really fearful and scared for the people of that industry, but at the same token, I'm terrified for the people of Ontario and the people of Guelph that truly believe when Liz Sandals steps to the microphone or Kathleen Wynne that they have their best. You know, when you hear Kathleen Wynne talk about the safe hands of Kathleen Wynne, listen, these are the people that doubled the deficit or doubled the debt. You know, they can't balance the books. 300,000 manufacturing jobs go, and they just replace it with 300,000 people on the public purse. I mean, it's just irresponsible government, and that's from a father's standpoint. That isn't even from a politician's standpoint. It infuriates me the way they spend and give our money away with absolutely no accountability.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some issues. Obviously, one of the big things, or the big thing in the conservative platform, is the Million Jobs Plan.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, a lot of people in the media, and I would include myself, have hammered mm-hmm. at the math on that.
Yep.
But I understand that, you know, in politics you want to dream big. And
yeah, I think it's regardless of whether you believe it's a million jobs or not a million jobs. Now, there was a good story in the National Post today that stuck up for the Million Jobs Plan and said exactly what it was all about. But, you know, quite frankly, creating the climate for economic growth is the platform. That's the platform. And you can call it million jobs, you can call it what you want, but it's the exact opposite of what the Liberals and the NDP are planning to do. We're not going to raise taxes. We're not going to poke people apart. We're not going to continue to bleed them. And that's exactly what the Liberals and the NDP will do. Oh, we're going to raise this, or we're going to put this levy or this levy. It, at the end of the day, it's taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not raising them. They are. And that's where it stands.
Mm-hmm. Do the flip side of it is cuts.
Yeah.
Do you see cuts in the future if there's a PC government?
To be honest, let's be very clear. I think there's cuts in the future if there's any government.
Right.
And that's really where it stands. Tim Hudak's the only one that's actually going to tell the truth and come out and say, yes, we're going to take 10% off the public sector, because that's where it was in 2009. We've actually hired more than 100,000 people since 2009. So to reduce it to that level with the importance of paying down the deficit, I think is very, very important. People say, well, I'll take some more time to pay down the deficit. Listen, man, we pay $30 million a day to service our interest rates on our debt right now. And I listened to Liz Sandals this afternoon and say, well, it's important, but it's not the most important thing. Let me be very clear. It is the most important thing in Ontario right now is paying down the deficit and starting to pay down the debt. The most important thing. The economic community will not look at Ontario as a viable partner or of a viable place to raise your businesses if you do not take your finances seriously. And the Liberals have proven they do not.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about corporate tax cuts. That's something Mr. Hudak has talked about. Obviously you probably support that, but at the same time, Ontario's corporate tax rate is
low.
Fairly low.
Yeah, it's 11.5, so it's not high by any means.
Right.
But I'll tell you what is high is our industrial hydro rate. It's the highest in North America by far.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is we need something to offset that, and we only have so many tools to do that. And again, if you're not going to raise taxes, you have to look at what you can seriously do. If we lower the corporate tax rate and we bring competition to Ontario, the competition from the businesses, and the biggest thing also is not giving out any more of the corporate welfare, as the PCs call it, so not giving grants to people. By lowering the corporate tax rate, you're leveling the playing field for every company in Ontario that wants to come in Ontario or that is in Ontario right now. And by doing that, you're creating more jobs in the private sector, and that's where we need them.
For someone playing devil's advocate, though, the counter-argument to that is there are a lot of corporations and companies, some of whom who do business in Ontario, that are sitting on a lot of capital already.
Yep. Well, if we lower the corporate tax rates and level the playing field, they won't be able to sit on capital, because there'll be people that will actually be vying for those jobs and vying for those contracts. For instance, you talk with Cisco.
Right.
Cisco was given a $300 million or more grant by the government. Well, how many Ontario companies did not get in on that money because the government actually picked a winner and virtually told the other companies they were losers? So if you lowered the playing field and made the corporate tax rate the lowest in North America, you may have other people that will come in. That creates competition. It creates good jobs for everybody, and that's where the good jobs really come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people need to recognize that. It's not about making it 8% because you think everybody's just going to flood in here. It's taking away the corporate welfare, lowering the corporate tax rates, and getting a handle on the hydro rates. And if you can do that, then you're going to be able to breed and build a climate for economic growth.
Well, let's talk a little about your own campaign, because you're running in a riding against a cabinet minister and a party leader, and asked James Gordon, is how does that affect the way you campaign, or does that affect the way you
campaign? Not at all. I'm running against the Liberals, and I don't have any personal issues with Liz Sandals. I think the Liberals are a poorly run organization. I think they'll do and say whatever they need to do to get reelected, and nothing personal. I don't know much about Liz Sandals. All I know is she's a Liberal, and she's in between the province running properly and not running properly, and it's nothing personal, but I will do what I have to ensure that we get our message through and people understand that the scandals that went on can't go unchecked. And it's absolutely mind-boggling to me when you look at the polling results in Ontario. I'm telling you what, man, the Toronto Maple Leaf fans wouldn't stick to the Liberals as close as the Liberal fans do, and it is shocking. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, but I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I ask every candidate this question, but as you're going out there and you're talking to people and debating, is there an issue you see that perhaps isn't being discussed enough that you would like to see more discussion about?
Yeah, I mean, if I talk about the scandals, I had a lady tell me, two ladies tell me the other night, you don't talk about the gas plants and eHealth and Orange enough. You don't talk about the scandals. So I talked about them more today. And I had two ladies come up and said, hey, you guys are too negative all the time. So, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I think that the things that need to be talked about are the things we shouldn't have to need to talk about. Mm-hmm. The fact that the gas plants took place. The fact that eHealth and Orange happened. Mm-hmm. The fact that the Liberals don't change the way they do business when you look at the Pan Am Games. And then most recently the other day with the Mars fiasco. I mean, these are things that people will stick to. But be very clear. That's not their money. They're not paying back the losses. It's our money, and we're paying back the losses. So I can't talk enough to you about what they've done. But the debt and the deficit and the scandals, yeah, man, it doesn't stick. I don't know why. It's our money. I can't say enough about it.
Do you think, like, just as an observer of mm-hmm. the politics, has enough air been let in to that issue? Because certainly, I mean, we've had 2.5 years of talking about gas plants.
I had my own campaign manager. I'd written something in the Tribune, and I said, as a taxpayer and as a father, I think somebody should go to jail. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in the political community don't believe that should be true. But if we're not going to change the way that we do business, if we're not going to send a clear message to people that just throw our money away, what does that say about us? Mm-hmm. I truly believe somebody should be sent to jail. I want to know who deleted the emails. I want to know exactly who is behind the gas plants, and I want that person to be standing behind bars because they stood... They are the ones that directly cost that money to be taken out of funding for programs like special needs, for instance. It's the most underfunded program in Ontario, the most underfunded program. And I just listened to Liz Sandals tell me that they put 60% more money into it. How badly funded was it before? You know, truthfully. So when you talk about this money leaving, people need to antiquate that and quantify that and take a look at what it means. That's a difference between maybe my daughter getting a job when she gets into university someday. So yes, as a taxpayer, as a father, as a husband, somebody should be sitting behind bars, and that's what I fully expect will happen out of this.
You mean if there's a PC government and
a PC or an NDP government, somebody's going to have to look into it. Will they call a judicial inquiry? Yes, we're the only party saying we're going to.
Right.
But I fully believe that if by some magical wand, you know, Andrea Horwath finds her way into Queen's Park and is a premier, then... Yeah, I fully expect her to look for that too. Somebody has to answer for what happened to our money. And it's not just once. This is the precipice. This is the tipping point. You know, the gas plants just showed the total disregard that the Liberals, or government for that matter, has for our money. And if we don't hold these people to account, if we don't start electing the right people, this is what you're left with. People that steal your money, throw it away, and walk away with a smirk on their face. I don't appreciate it, and I don't think anybody else does.
How about specifically for Guelph? I mean, perhaps other than economic concerns, what do you think is a priority for people?
Well, you know what? I always thought Guelph was a great place to live, and I still do. Obviously, our unemployment rate has gone up 50%, but we still do have Highway 7 expansions to make. You know, we still have transit problems to deal with. Mm-hmm. And these are difficult issues. You know, these are issues that have been guaranteed to people for the past 4 elections or more maybe, and they're not there. So what would I like to see? A square foot of pavement on Highway 7 expansion would be great. You know, we've said, and I made it very clear with the party, they said Highway 7 expansions are on the top of the priority list. Now, they wouldn't give me a date because they're politicians, but at the same time, it is on the top of the list. So in Guelph, yeah, Highway 7 expansions, transit problems, these things have to be tackled, social housing, all these things that are underfunded mm-hmm. need to be looked at, but it all goes back to the economy, and that's what people have to recognize. Every problem you have in your province is directly attributed to our poor economy, and we need to do something about it. And it goes back to what you said, what's the most important thing? There is nothing more important than our economy. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
So you would say it's all tied to the economy?
Everything is tied to the economy. If the province is running poorly, all our social programs are going to fall apart. Right. Everything is going to fall apart. Our jobs are going to leave the province. Our businesses and industries are going to leave. I mean, just look around you. You don't have to take my word for it. Our economy has never been worse than it is right now. Look at our unemployment rate. 87 months in a row, it's above the national average. 87 months. That's over 7 years. So I don't know what indicators people need to change their vote, but we have a poor economy, and we know who did it. What are we going to do about it?
Well, again, to play devil's advocate.
You're going
to
say we went through a recession, yeah.
I was going to say a depression.
Yeah, okay, a depression, yeah. Well, listen, everybody in Canada went through that. Everybody in the world went through that. You know, but at the same time, you know, you hear Guelph, you hear Liz Sandals say, we weathered the storm. We didn't weather anything. You know,
true.
We get hit, but at the same time, everybody else get hit. And when other people are picking themselves up and dusting themselves off and wondering what hit them, we're still laying on the ground. That's unacceptable, and we need to do something about that.
Right, but we had a sector here in Ontario, the manufacturing sector. That was
but let's be clear. They were warned.
Right.
The Liberals were warned time and time again. The hydro rates are too high, and they just let them continue to skyrocket and skyrocket. You know, I tell everybody this all the time. If you continue to give people a reason to leave Ontario, they simply will, and they have, and they'll continue to. Mm-hmm. Businesses included.
One of the things that's, if we can just jump back to the mm-hmm. province at large, is your party leader, Tim Hudak.
Yep.
There's been a lot of, let's call it tongue wagging in the mm-hmm. media about people not liking him very mm-hmm. much. And you've talked to him, I take mm-hmm. it, probably several times.
I met him. I have a lot of respect for Tim Hudak. I think he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the majority of people in Ontario.
Right.
And I know if people are going to say that, then that's what people are going to believe. You know, if people believe I'm a bad person, they're just going to believe I'm a bad person. But I think what you need to look at in this election is you have three leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You have an economist with a bad economy, and you have two people that helped make it the way it is running for the other parties. I mean, for me, whether you like them or not, we have a clear plan. It's set out there for everybody. Take a look at it. See if you like it or you don't. And if you don't like it, don't vote for Tim Hudak. If you think that we should raise taxes, no matter what, to pay for our programs and not pay attention to the deficit and debt, then don't vote for Tim Hudak, because that's exactly what we are going to do. And that's what people – it can't be any more cut and dry than that. If you think we should pay attention to the debt and the deficit, you know, pay down the deficit as quickly as you can, try and get the private sector moving again, then by all means, feel free to vote for the Conservatives, because that's what we will do.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, if your priorities are somewhere else, then there's no need to vote for the Conservatives.
I was going to ask you about – him personally, but that was
I think he's a good guy, you know. He's the type of guy where I tell people this all the time. If I send him a text message right now, I guarantee you could time it. He'd, mm-hmm. maybe not tonight, but
sure.
he'd respond in 15 minutes, you know. He's just a good guy. I thought he had a big heart. Anytime I was always one-on-one with him, I thought he was a great guy. You know, he's the type of guy you go out and have a beer with, you talk to. He's got a good sense of humor. He's a nice guy. I like him.
Maybe to wrap up, because I know time is a factor right now. What do you want people to keep in mind as they go to the ballot box? I mean, advance polls are now open, so whether it's today or next Thursday.
Well, listen, I think I've been very clear. I think people need to recognize where we are in a province, where we are as a province right now, both financially, but in every sector. Where we are, how we got here, where we need to be, and how we're going to get there. And if you think that paying attention to the deficit, the economy, you know, the debt, paying all these things down, and making sure the jobs come to Ontario, if you don't think those are important to Ontario, you're looking at the wrong website. Because that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we strengthen Ontario's economy and core, and we have a clear plan to do it. I invite everybody to go on www.millionjobsplan.ca, take a look at it, read through it, then go on the other websites, and you'll notice one specific thing. Nobody else will tell you how they're going to pay for these programs. We will.
Well, as a novice politician, you've certainly mastered the plug, I have to say.
Well, thank you very much.
Anthony McDonald, thanks for taking the time today.
Anytime.
And once again, that was Anthony McDonald, the Progressive Conservative candidate in Guelph for the 2014 provincial election. And that means we've reached the end of this particular election cycle podcast season. Anthony McDonald was the last candidate to be interviewed, and I thank him again for his time and for squeezing me in, and I thank all the candidates for their time and for taking the time out to talk to the Guelph Politicast and talking about the issues and their candidacy. It's very much appreciated. I hope that it helps you all who are listening to make up your mind as you head to the polls on June the 12th. That's the date of the provincial election. If you have not yet received your voter ID card, and you should have, then you will have to go to wemakevotingeasy.ca to see if you're on the voters list. And on wemakevotingeasy.ca, you can also find out how you can get on the voters list if you are not already on it. For anything else about the election, keep coming back to guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, and then after the election, we'll be keeping up with the municipal election coverage as we head to the October 27th local Guelph City Council elections and Guelph School Board elections. And we will have more podcasts to do along with those elections. So stay tuned to Guelph Politico for all the latest updates and podcasts and hopefully more videos too. The theme music for the Guelph Politicast is by Go280 and the Uishank Band. And for all the podcasts, you can go to the my podcast host, which is Podbean. So just look up guelphpoliticast.podbean.com and find all the previous Guelph Politicasts there. So with that, I will bid you adieu, and we will see you next time here on the Guelph Politicast. Thanks for listening.